Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Today is the Lord's Supper. So that really, in a very significant way, is, or can be for each of us, Judgment Day. The context of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it actually says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." And so that is, of course, the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and the Lord's Supper, is that the attitude of our hearts ought to be one of examining our lives. And no reasonable, humble, Bible-knowing follower of Christ could ever, with integrity, say they have no failures in their life, no struggles, no weaknesses. And we want to show the Lord's death until He come. Our text is verse 3 of Hebrews 12. I take the title of the message from the first three words, to consider Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest He be wearied and faint in your minds." Who is this Him? Consider Him. Of course, we know it's the Lord Jesus. To consider is the idea of taking our minds away from ourselves. It is specifically given to us as a prescription against being wearied and fainting and exhausted in our minds. To consider Him, to think about Him, to analyze Him, to compare Him to us perhaps, to meditate upon Him, to focus on Him is the idea. The song sometimes we sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face." That's the concept. Consider Him. Let us consider Him for a few minutes tonight. You'll notice the very verse before this, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And then look at what it says about Him. "Who, for the joy that was set before Him," that's His goal. There is something set before Him. It was in front of Him. Because of that, "for the joy that was set before Him, despising the shame," He endured the cross despising the shame. We might call that His grief. We see there again something that we've emphasized in the book of 1 Peter, that the cross always comes before the crown. The grief comes before the joy in this passage. For the cross, or for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross despising the shame, and then is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, His glory. But there was a time where our Lord Jesus endured the cross. There was a time when He suffered grief. There was a time where He felt real pain. There was a time where He suffered. We are admonished in the Scripture that one of the very significant practices that we can have when we are tempted to be wearied, worn out, fainting, mentally fatigued, tempted to give up, wanting to be finished with whatever is wearing us out and beating us up, God says a good thing to do is to consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. I have 7 quick things that I'd like to mention to you about this concept of enduring such contradiction of sinners against Himself. I think sometimes we may think of the way Jesus was treated and somehow be almost dismissive because, yes, it's true, but He's God. And we will not be helped if we just dismiss this. Think of these things that were made against perfect Jesus. For example, Matthew 11 and verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber. That's what they said of our perfect Lord. You have no self-discipline. You have no self-control. You're just a glutton. You don't know how to say no. You're a wine bibber. You have no self-control. No, it got worse. Think of this. Luke 4. Early, very early, his earthly ministry. His own hometown. All they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They heard him speak. They rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. The contradiction of sinners. They sought to murder him. Anybody ever try to murder you? Think of it. How about this one? Luke 5:21. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Think of that. Think of the purity of our Lord Jesus. Think of his speech, filled with grace. Think of his reverence. Think of his holiness. And yet now he is being accused of blasphemy. Luke 15 and verse 2, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You like bad people. You hang around with the wrong crowd. You don't understand who these people are that you're with. You shouldn't be with these street people. You shouldn't be with these folks because of the way they live and their backgrounds and the associations. You shouldn't be with them. They hurled at him in faith, in his face. How about this one? John 8:41. They said to him, to the Lord Jesus, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. You are illegitimate. You're born out of an adulterous relationship, they're accusing him of. Why do we go through this? Because God is counseling you and me to consider him that endured this kind of contradiction of sinners against himself. Because as we do that, we can push back on the temptation to be wearied and faint in our own minds. And to recognize that this is the one that we claim and seek and want to follow. How about this one? John 8:48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? You are demon possessed. One more. John 10 and verse 20. Many of them said he hath a devil and is mad. You're out of your mind. You're crazy. You are delusional. You're not thinking clearly. You're out of touch with reality. You are mentally compromised. That's the idea of this contradiction of sinners. We consider Christ, who with this goal of the joy that was set before him, endured the grief, despising the shame, enduring the cross, and yet he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we can long for that day that we are with him. And that's good. We should long for that. But not long for that so much that we long to not be suffering here and not be faithful here, and therefore to compromise the grace of God that can enable us to be a light in this very dark world and salt in this very corrupted world and to shine for him. But I want you to notice something else before we finish. Notice the last phrase there. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We also are called to endure what is not easy. We're called to persevere when it's not fun, when it's not pleasant, when it's not fair, when it's not correct, when it's not accurate. We are called to continue on and to manfully, with perseverance, to keep on keeping on, because we are following this one who is treated like this, and to get in line behind him and to be noble and virtuous followers of this Lamb. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I love the fact that when God speaks to us, and as our brother read, and we hear about this great cloud of witnesses, and we're challenged to lay aside weights and sins which does so easily beset us, and to run with patient endurance, to keep on running and running and running the race that is set before us, understanding that there is a course for each of us to run, and we can get to the end of our lives and have disqualified ourselves by taking some sort of a shortcut, but rather God tells us to continue on the path that he gives us, not knowing when the end is, not knowing where the hills or the valleys or all the difficulties are on this race, but to continue on running until we see him. And yet, he doesn't just scold us. He doesn't just motivate us or admonish us. He says that we should consider Jesus, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That is a very real possibility of the people of God. And the possibility of the people of God not carrying through like so many did in Hebrews chapter 11, this chapter that immediately precedes. To read Hebrews 11, and we read some of that this morning. If you're still following with us, I hope you are. The Bible reading guide for this year, we read half of Hebrews 11 this morning. And we read about what God called some of those people to do. I was really struck this morning again with this story of Isaac and Abraham. And Abraham being this patriarch, and God promises him a son. You remember we looked at it just a few weeks ago here on Sunday night. But then when the promised son finally comes, God tells him he wants to sacrifice him. This only begotten son, he's called in Hebrews 11. Isaac. This one of a kind, unique son of promise. And God says, I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. And of course, the Bible says that Isaac, by faith, did exactly what he was told. Even to the point of building the altar, binding his son, having him on the altar, and even raising the knife to take this promised son's life. How do you do something like that? Well, it's because Abraham was looking at someone far bigger than himself. That's this idea of lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. We as the people of God, we are not exempt from the most difficult and discouraging and heart-rending burdens to carry. There's a great concern listed here. There's the consideration of Christ, the contradiction of sinners, but then there's concern for us. There are burdens of life. Lest ye be wearied. You and I, if we will serve the Lord, we're going to get tired. We're going to get weary. We should get weary in the work, but we shouldn't get weary of the work. But sometimes we can even get weary of the work. Not physically weary, heart weary, mind weary, faith weary, hope weary. It just wears us out, and the burdens of life are such. That is the time to consider him and to be strengthened in our heart. The burdens of our life. Then this idea of the breaking of our will. Lest ye be wearied and faint. The concern is that we would not be wearied and give in, but we will be tempted and we will be tired. But lest ye faint. Lest you give up. You know what it is to faint. Maybe you've seen people faint. Maybe you have fainted. I'm cautious to say this, but I have never fainted in my life. I'm glad if I never do. But yeah, I remember one time being at a high school event, and there was someone on the platform, and it was like a competition, and they were on there. I didn't even remember what they were doing, but just right in the middle of it, all of a sudden, they just collapsed. They fainted. Somehow they locked their knees. I don't know, I had to do with something there, but boom, they just keeled right over. They were fine. There's no problem. But they didn't win the contest. They fainted. We can do that. We can get to the point where we just lose our energy. We lose our composure. Gone. And then this last note, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. How we think. The battleground of our thoughts. The battleground of how I'm thinking about God, about God's work, about God's people, about God's word, about life and the precious gift that God has given to us to be able to live for Him. Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." It reminds me very much, doesn't it, of what we looked at this morning, where it talked about being in due time we shall reap. If we faint not here, and in due time we will be exalted. Humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. But that timing is God's, and payday is not here yet. One day it'll be worth whatever it takes to keep plowing. One day it will be worth it, no matter what price we have to pay, to just keep on faithfully serving Jesus Christ. How do you do it? The key may well be right here. The key to faithfully serving Christ, not quitting because of troubles, not quitting because of disappointments, not giving up because of misunderstandings, but just keeping on, keeping on. The key may well be right in our text. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.